O foolish minds, at least now wake up. This is the Bhajan Oman Morak Abdo Jag on page 265. The night is dark, path is unknown. On your head is the burden of sins. The river is deep, the boat is old, and on top of that it has thousands of holes. Ages have passed while you were sleeping. Oh, lazy one, give up the sleep. The parents, the wife, the son, the brother, whom you understand as the most beloved, they all will leave you as soon as the bird of life flies away. Everyone has their own tambourine, and all have their own melody. The essence of all the truths is Nam. Nam is the support of life. Love is Nam. And by saying Nam, one takes the boat across. Kripal is the holy Nam of God, who protects and loves. Leaving hundreds of works, go to satsang. O man, leaving thousands of works, meditate. As much as the body needs food, the soul also needs the food of Simran. O Ajab, remember the words of Kripal. You have wandered enough, so at least now wake up. O foolish mind, at least now wake up. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 265.
O Manamuraka, Ab to jaga, O man murak, ab to jag. O man murak, ab to jaga, O man murak, ab to jag. Rat anderi, Pate anjana sir par hai papo kabara geri nadiyan nabe purani aur usme bhi cheda haja Rat anderi pate anjana sir par hai papo kabara giri nadiyan nave purani aur usme bhi cheda haja Bit gaye jug sote sote Hare alasi nindratya O man murak ab to jaga O man murak Ab to ja mata pita patni sut dara samajh raha jinko ati pyara prano ka panchi udte hi kar jayenge sabhi kinara mat pita patni sut dara samajh raha jinko ati pyara prano ka panchi udte hi kar jayenge sabhi kinara sab ki apni apni dafali sabka apna apnara o man murak ab to jaga o man murak ab to jag sakala sate ka saranam hai jivan ka adar naam hai prem naam hai pyar naam hai kehte ber par naam hai sakal sate ka sar naam hai jivan ka adar naam hai prem naam hai pyar naam hai kehte ber par naam hai prabhu ko pavan kirpal naam hai kare pratipal aur anurag o man murak ab to jaga o man murak ab to jaga so kam chora sat sang me jana hajar kam chora bande dhyan lagana jitni jarurat tan ko kane ki atma bimange simran khana so kam chora sat sang me jana hajar kam chora bande dhyan lagana jitni jarurat tan ko khane ki atma bimange simran khana vak ajaib yad rak kirpal ka khali to kare ab to jag o man murak ab to jag o man murak ab to jag
the essence of all the truths is nam nam is the support of life Love is Nam, and by saying Nam, one takes the boat across. Kripal is the holy Nam of God, who protects and loves, leaving hundreds of works go to satsang. Oh man, leaving thousands of works, meditate. As much as the body needs food, the soul also needs the food of Simran. O Ajayab, remember the words of Kripal. You have wandered enough, so at least now wake up. O foolish mind, at least now wake up. I'm going to continue our reading from The Stranger of Galilee. Commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. This is chapter 20, continuing on from where we left off last time. Why worry? Jesus' instructions to store up treasures in heaven rather than on earth are followed by this verse. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Matthew 6:24. There is a parallel section in the Gospel of Luke where some very interesting material is added. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" In the Gospel of Thomas 72, Jesus' answer is, "Who made me a divider? I'm not a divider, am I?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Luke 12:13-21. Then follows essentially the same instructions as these from the Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Matthew 6:25-34. In the Gospel of Luke at this point, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12:32. We should remember that the basic underlying theme of this great sermon is that this universe can be looked at from an angle of vision that is completely divergent from our normal one, an angle of vision that makes everything look very different from the way it usually looks to us. A section from Baba Sawan Singh's famous letter on karma has often been read to illustrate this point. There are two ways of looking at this creation, says Baba Sawan Singh. One, from the top looking down, the Creator's point of view. Two, from the bottom looking up, man's point of view. From the top, it looks as though the Creator is all in all. He is the only doer, and the individual seems like a puppet tossed right and left by the wire puller. There seems to be no free will in the individual, and therefore no responsibility on his shoulder. It is God's play. There is no why or wherefore. All the saints, when they look from the top, describe the creation as his manifestation. They see him working everywhere. Looking from below, or the individual viewpoint, we come across variety as opposed to oneness. Everybody appears to be working with a will and is influenced by and is influencing others with whom he comes in contact. The individual thinks he is the doer and thereby becomes responsible for his actions and their consequences. All the actions are recorded in his mind and memory and cause likes and dislikes, which keep him pinned down to the material, astral, or mental spheres according to his actions in an earlier life in the cycle of transmigration. The individual in these regions cannot help doing actions, and having done them, cannot escape their influences. The individual acts as the doer and therefore bears the consequences of his actions. As stated above, the observations differ on account of the difference in the angle of vision. Both are right. One, the individual, clothed in coarse material form, sees only the external material forms. His sight does not go deeper than that. Two, if he were to rise up to Sahansdal Kamal, the astral plane, the same individual would see the mind actuating all forms. The form would be only secondary. Mind would be the prime mover in all. Three, the same individual from Daswandwar, the supercausal plane, will see the spirit current everywhere and will see how the mind gets power from the spirit. Four, from Sachkhand, the pure spiritual plane, the whole creation looks like bubbles forming and disappearing in the spiritual ocean. This perspective described by Master Sawan Singh underlies the philosophy of life that Jesus is presenting in this section of the sermon, a philosophy based on the idea of trust. The Greek noun pistis is translated here, as elsewhere in the New Testament, as faith, but a much better rendering is trust. For one thing, the verb pistuein usually ends up as believe, since there is no English verb form of faith. And this is way too intellectual a connotation. The Greek word is both a noun and a verb, just as trust is in English. And it essentially means not to be afraid, but to trust. Sanchi has commented in the Palace of Love that the greatest sin of all is to be afraid. In the definition of sin as given by the masters is forgetting, specifically forgetting of our origin, Godhead, as Master Kripal said in The Wheel of Life. So we come to understand that fear is what causes our forgetting. We are afraid, therefore we forget. What Jesus is describing in this passage is the angle of vision we are entitled to by our origin. And it is our forgetting that prevents us from understanding him. We have a right to this angle of vision, Kripal has said. It is our birthright to become God. We are supposed to be able to take hold of the Master's little finger and walk without worry wherever we are led. The absence of worry amounts to the absence of fear. We worry because we are afraid of what is going to happen as a result of our actions. It may be worth repeating that the Masters say there are six things, actually three fundamental things with two variants each, that are fixed by fate. Those are the things we usually worry about: wealth or poverty, health or illness, and pain or pleasure, happiness or discomfort. Those are in our fate karma. We have no control over them, because they are fixed before we are born. In a very real sense, it is true that we will be taken care of. We will get whatever our fate karma has in store for us. What is not controlled, of course, and what is not in our fate karma, is how we respond to that which is predetermined. This is an underlying point of the sermon and of the Master's writings on this subject. What do we bring to a confrontation with our fate karma? Go jolly means go trustingly. If we respond with trust to whatever happens to us, with the understanding that this is in our fate karma, so this is what is best for us, we can make the best possible use of that which is given to us. By using the little freedom of will that we have, we can produce an enormous change. And that is why the Masters go to so much trouble to tell us all this. It is very hard for people to grasp the beauty of what is meant here. It is not easy, and there is the built-in danger of the crane trying to be a swan. We must truly sense the comfort and safety of trusting the Master before we dare to give ourselves completely into his hands, but we can do it if we understand the two points of view, one from the top down, the other from the bottom up. As Baba Sawan Singh said, both are right. Both are accurate, valid descriptions of the universe. One is not worse than the other. It is just that by seeing the view from the top down, we begin to participate in the liberating qualities of that perspective. And to do that, we must trust in the One, the Master, who tells us about it. This is what he is leading us toward. And this is what Jesus is clearly saying here in the sermon. This is the way the rest of creation lives. They may be lesser creatures than humans in some ways, but they trust. Birds of the air and lilies of the field don't do anything to make it happen, but they are more beautiful than human beings in fancy clothes. If they are taken care of, why should we not be? Sanji told a story in 1980 when he was at Martha's Vineyard that reminded me of this passage in the Bible. Guru Nanak and Mardana were walking along somewhere, and Mardana was eating some corn, and Guru Nanak said, "Mardanaji, you won't be able to finish that corn. One of those kernels is meant for a hen in Lahore." Mardana laughed and said, "But I'm eating it. How is it possible?" Just at that moment, he swallowed wrong, and one of those grains of corn went up into his nose, and he couldn't get it out. Guru Nanak laughed and said, "Well, we'll see." Some weeks later, they were walking near Lahore, and there was a hen by the side of the road. Guru Nanak said, "That's the hen that was supposed to get that grain of corn you were eating." Mardana said, "Well, how could she get it now? It's stuck in my nose. I can't get it out." And just at that moment, he sneezed, and it came out, and the hen ate it. Just as Sawan Singh said, it seems to us that we're doing it all. And as long as it seems that way to us, there is a very real sense in which we are doing it all. But there is a lot that we don't control, a lot that we can't control. And though we may think that that loss of control is also caused by human beings, the truth is we just don't know. We are not privy to the inner workings of the universe in that way. That is what Sanchi's story illustrates. This talk was given at Santbani Ashram on May 26, 1977. Sanchi is commenting on a hymn of Kabir. O Kabir, why should I worry? What will I bring about by worrying? God worries about me. I have no worries. And Sanchi says, if you want to accomplish anything in this world, the first thing required is to have faith, to have belief. When we are traveling in a train, going over rivers on the bridges built by engineers, we have faith in those engineers that their bridges will not break down. We surrender our precious lives in their hands and travel in the train without any worries. Fearlessly we sleep all night while the train crosses bridge after bridge. In the same way, when we fly in the air, we go up miles above the earth. We surrender our lives to the pilots and the engineers because we have faith in them. They will take us to the right place and that they are able to take us where we want to go. Similarly, when we enter into Sant Mat, in the beginning we need much faith in the Master. If we have any doubt, we cannot progress, and the way to him will not be open to us. We can deceive and misguide the people, but we cannot deceive that God which is within us. We cannot play tricks on him. In the beginning, we need to build up faith outwardly. And after that, when we go within and see with our own eyes, we realize that we need not worry about anything, because the God who is residing within us is concerned about us, and he is doing everything for us. We read in the history of Bhagat Namdev that he had a very beautiful hut, and his neighbor was very jealous of it and wanted to destroy it. Once it so happened that his neighbor did destroy it, but Bhagat Namdev was not unhappy with him. He sat in meditation and said, I am not worried about this hut. If God wants me to sit in a hut, he will make it for me. And while he was sitting in meditation, his Satguru came and made him a hut, much more beautiful than before, and that had been the best hut in the village. His neighbors asked him, Namdev, who has made this hut? If the same person will come and make our hut, we can pay him more than you have paid. But Namdev replied, he will ask for much more than you can pay. What payment does he ask? He tells us to detach ourselves from our family and all our attachments. When we give him this payment, then there is no need to call him. He will come by himself. Bhagat Namdev was a cloth dyer by profession, and he was not working hard at his trade. He was not a good businessman. He would come home and his family would ask him, what are you doing? Why are you not making money? He would say, I don't find any customer to whom I can sell my clothes. Then his mother told him to sell his clothes on credit if nobody was ready to pay cash. So he took his clothes, went outside, gave some of his clothes to the beggars, and put the rest on some stones there and came back. His mother asked him, how is business? He replied, yes, I have all the clothes on credit. His mother asked, when will you get paid for them? He replied, they told me that whenever they have it, they will come here and pay us. Then he sat for meditation. Some people told Namdev's family, nobody is going to come here to pay you. Your brother Namdev has given his clothes to the beggars and he has put some of them on the stones and they will not give you any money. So God himself came in the form of a man and brought some money. He said, Namdev has given me some clothes. Here is the payment. Bhagat Namdev was sitting there in meditation while his God, his master, came there in the form of a man. Master Kripal Singh also used to tell this story, and people would often get very upset with it. The late 60s and early 70s was a time when many people felt that earning one's living was unworthy of a person with higher aspirations. They felt it was much better just to float around and not worry about it, and they would cite this kind of story in support of what we then called the hippie ideal. A great many satsangis subscribed to this ideal in those days, and those who did not, who worked hard for a living, used to despair when they heard it. Why does Master tell stories like this, they would say. This just gives those people fuel for their laziness and they won't ever work. What is required here is the understanding that it's a question of mental attitude, of point of view. Namdev knew he would be taken care of. He knew it was not necessary to worry, and whatever he did was in accordance with his own inner vision. And it worked. He was taken care of. Of course we have to earn our own living. We have to do whatever is required to support ourselves and our families if they are dependent on us. There is no doubt about that. It's an important part of the Master's teachings. But our attitude must be that we will not worry about it, because we know we will be taken care of, just as Namdev was. However, if we do worry about it, we must remember that in Sawan Singh's letter, he said that it is the taking on of responsibility that makes us responsible. In other words, if we really think that everything depends on us, it really will depend on us, and we will not be taken care of. It is not easy to adopt this don't worry attitude, but if we can even come close to it, it is very liberating. That's the point of it. Matthew 6:24 said that no one can serve two masters because we'll be slave to one or the other. If we are slaves to our fears and desires, we will be ruled by those fears and desires. But we can escape them by being slaves to the Master who is ultimately our own highest self. This concept corresponds to the Guru Mukh Manmukh idea that we can be either the mouthpiece of the Guru or the mouthpiece of the mind. We can choose. Sanchi's discourse continues. But what are we people doing? We are worrying for our own self. We are always concerned that if we do not do this thing, we will not be able to get that, and this work will not be done. Because we are always thinking for our own self, we are suffering. We do not have faith in that God who has given us birth, who has brought us into this world. We sometimes even forget that he is concerned about us, and we think that he will not give us food. He will not give us that which we need. But what are saints and mahatmas doing? They don't worry about anything, and they leave everything to their Satguru. That's why their Satguru always fulfills their needs. Guru Nanak says, look at God, how he has created the creatures who live in the ocean. There is no market there, no shopping place. But still God is providing them food and whatever they need. Everything is provided there, under the water. Sadhus never save money. They accept only what is needed. For the future, God is there. When they ask, he gives. Now Kabir Sahib says that sadhus never collect money in banks, because whenever they need it, God or their master himself provides it for them. And at this point there's a footnote which reads, the following is from the Dehradun Northern Post, April 2nd, 1971. His Holiness Sant Kripal Singh, who is celebrating Mankind Day tomorrow at beautifully constructed Manavkendra on 25 acres of land, told the Post about his further program. The tall and cheerful saint, when asked how many centers he intends to build, gleefully laughed and said, "God is my budget. I am going on like wildfire." If they do get some money from the Sangat, they use that money for the benefit of the satsang. They will set up a free kitchen or make any necessary building for the Sangat. In that also, if they need more money for those purposes, God himself comes and gives that money, because God, or the master of that saint, is always worried about that saint, and whatever he needs, he provides him with that. I have seen that Baba Bishan Das never kept any money with him. But still, I don't know how he did it. The langar was provided for the people who were coming there, and nobody had to worry about where the money would come from. When Hazur first came to our ashram, a lot of food was brought there. But I don't even know who the man was who brought that food in his truck. I tried to investigate and find out who the man was who brought all that, but I was never able to find out. At 3 o'clock in the morning, that man came in his truck and told my sevadars, "This is for your ashram." And my sevadars took it, and the next morning they told me that somebody had come and given it to them. I mean to say that if we have faith in our Satguru, we have everything, because Satguru knows everything. Don't worry, remain worryless. The giver is competent. He gives even to animals, birds, and insects who neither have anything in their hands nor any store. Now Kabir says, "Why do you worry? You should have only one worry, and that is about meditation. Because that God who has given you life, he is worried about you very much. Look at the birds and animals. They don't have any bank balance. They don't have any source from where to get money. But still, God provides them with food by one or another means." And that discourse is from Streams in the Desert, pages 91 through 94. This subject is one that surfaces again and again throughout Sanchi's book, In the Palace of Love. The following excerpt is from chapter 20, called Understanding the Will of God. Once a Gurumukh dear one came to Guru Angad Dev and asked him, "Master, is there any disciple of yours who understands the will of God and its real meaning? Is there anyone who, even after knowing everything that will happen in his lifetime, still remains content in the will of God? Is there any disciple of yours like that?" Guru Angad told him lovingly, "Yes, dear one. In Gujarat, there is an initiate of mine named Bhai Bukhari. Go to him and you will find all these qualities in him." So that Gurumukh dear one went to Gujarat. And when he arrived at Bhai Bukhari's house, he found him weaving a mat. Bhai Bukhari welcomed him there, but he continued his weaving. After he finished, he asked that Gurumukh dear one, "Yes, now tell me, why have you come?" So the Gurumukh dear one told Bhai Bukhari, "I was told by Guru Angad Dev to come and see you, so I have come to have your darshan." Bhai Bukhari welcomed him to his home, but he told him he was very busy because his son was going to be married soon. Bhai Bukhari showed him all the sweets which they had prepared for the people who had come there to attend the wedding. He also showed him the clothes that they had made for the bride and the jewelry and ornaments that they had prepared and collected for the wedding. After showing him all this, Bhai Bukhari also showed him a white piece of cloth, which usually people use to cover dead bodies, and he showed him a piece of wood. Bhai Bukhari told him, "After my son gets married, in a few days he will leave the body. So I have kept ready this white piece of cloth to cover his body and on this piece of wood I will take him to the cremation ground. Now that Gurumukh dear one who had come to see Bhai Bhukhari was very surprised. He thought, maybe Bhai Bhukhari is saying all this just for the sake of saying it. Maybe what he is saying is not true. Because usually when we do not have faith in our own selves, we do not have faith in other people either. And I repeat that sentence, which to me is one of the most profound things Sanchi or any master has ever said. Because usually when we do not have faith in our own selves, we do not have faith in other people either. We think that other people are like us, and they are not saying the truth. But since that dear one had come all the way just to see reality, he thought, I should wait here and see what happens and see how real the words of Bhai Bhukhari are. So after a day or so, the wedding of his son took place, and they had the wedding procession. The groom went to the bride's place, and everything happened according to Indian tradition. The parents of the bride did everything as they do in weddings, and after all the rites and rituals, the bride came to Bhai Bhukhari's home, and after a day or two, his son left the body. Since Bhai Bhukhari had everything all prepared, it was not difficult to do what needed to be done. He took the body of his son to the cremation ground, and after the body was cremated and they came back home, they sat on the mat which he had been weaving when that Gurumukh dear one had first seen him. In India, it is a tradition that when people come back from the cremation ground, they sit in sympathy and mourn the death of the person. The people sitting there were talking according to their own understanding, saying, it is very bad that your son left the body. If God wanted to take him back, you should have taken him before he got married. Why did he let him get married? And you spent so much money on the wedding. But Bhai Bhukhari did not say anything. He just kept quiet. After some time, that Gurumukh dear one took Bhai Bhukhari into a corner and asked him, dear one, what is all this play? I don't understand what is happening. If you had known from the very beginning that all this was going to happen, why didn't you try to avoid it? Since you go within and you knew that your son would first get married and then leave the body, and you made all these arrangements beforehand, even this mat on which people are sitting to mourn the death of your son, if you had known all this from the beginning and you were going within, why didn't you do something to avoid it? Even if you were not capable of doing that, at least should have told the Shabad Guru, Guru Angad Dev Ji Maharaj. He is all-powerful, and if you had requested, he would definitely have done something so that you wouldn't have to go through all this suffering. Bhai Bhukhari replied, look here, dear one. The disciple who tells the master to put life into a dead body, the disciple who tells the master to change the will of God for him, is not, in fact, a disciple of the master. If he is doing the devotion of God only for fulfilling his own interests and desires, he cannot be a devotee of the master. So here in this hymn, Guru Angad Dev is talking about the qualities of the lovers of the master. He says, if one is a servant of the master, he will not make any excuses. He will remain content and happy in the will of God. A servant of the master cannot make excuses. If a devotee is doing things for the master only for fulfilling his own desires, his own self-interest, he cannot be called a lover of the master. Such a disciple, such a servant of the master, can never please Almighty God. Saints and Mahatmas live in this world according to the laws of nature. And they tell their disciples also to live according to the rules and regulations and laws of nature. They tell us, if you have stepped onto this path of devotion and you want to become successful, then you should always accept the will of the Lord. Pain and comfort, sickness and health, poverty and riches. These six things are written in our fate even before our body is created. All the things which are going to happen in our life must happen, and they do happen on the exact time, and there is no way we can avoid them. Tulsi Sahib says, O Tulsi, before this body was created, our pralabdha, or fate karmas, were written down. This is a very unique play, but our mind does not become patient. Not even worldly parents are happy looking at the pain of their children. How can we expect our master to be pleased when he sees us in a painful condition? The masters have love of more than thousands of parents. They do extend feasible help, but we people do not know what we should ask of them, what kind of help we should seek from them. And that's quote is from the Palace, in the Palace of Love, pages 199 to 202. If we put it all together, everything from the Bible and from the masters that we have read, we see that President Roosevelt was right in the early days of the Great Depression when he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It is the fear of what is going to happen that causes us to worry, and it is the worry that causes us pain. The master's point is that what is going to happen is already fixed. What isn't fixed is how we deal with it. If we deal with it from the vantage point of love rather than fear, of trust rather than worry, the whole process will be short-circuited. The karma will still happen, but we will not be touched by it. The underlying factor about this non-worry attitude is that if we realize God is going to provide for us, if we continue to trust and love, we can come through almost anything unscathed. Of course, we may not like what is provided, and that's when it is hard to sustain an attitude of acceptance. Suddenly something happens, we don't like it, we lose our faith, and we begin to worry. That is our loss. But if we can hang on and trust in Him, He will take care of us. Outwardly, we may have problems, but if we can face up to them, we will be strong inwardly, and that's what the Master wants for us. And of course, I gave this talk, or wrote this chapter, just a couple of years, few years after my stroke in 1989, in which I did exactly what it says not to do here. Suddenly something happens, we don't like it, we lose our faith, and we begin to worry. That is our loss. And that is what, of course, as I've often said in satsang and elsewhere, when I finally realized what was happening in the course of my stroke, when I understood, I stopped denying and I understood that I was totally paralyzed on my left side, my assumption was that I would be that way for the rest of my life, and I went into complete despair. And, of course, as everyone knows, within 12 hours, I was not paralyzed anymore. Now, I often thought that that was Master's answer to my despair. But what is implied here is that the fear has nothing to do with what is going to happen. You know, it only has to do with the way we see what is going to happen or what is happening. And when Sanchi told me when I saw him in Italy that summer that I had lost my faith, it has occurred to me somewhere along the line that it was never meant that that stroke would be permanent. If I had not gone into complete despair, it would have been just the same. And that I will never know, because I went into despair and lost my faith in that sense. And that is our loss, you know. But I didn't like it. I hated it. I was terribly afraid of what was going to happen, and I couldn't deal with it. I lost it. but he took care of me anyway. And I think, you know, underlying all this also, the deepest truth of all is that no matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we say, no matter how many mistakes we make, and all of us, including me, have made hundreds and thousands of them, some of them huge ones, the Master still loves us. He loves us because of our inmost self, because of what we really are, which he can see even if we cannot. And that's what we should never forget. And if we realize that, that is, of course, the biggest helping factor in developing that trust which we've been talking about. If we can hang on and trust in him, he will take care of us. Outwardly, we may have problems, but if we can face up to them, we will be strong inwardly, and that's what the Master wants for us. This is the attitude with which Masters live their lives. One of the endearing things about Sanchi is his honesty, his willingness to tell stories about himself in which he was wrong. Just after the section quoted above from In the Palace of Love, he tells this story. Before I met Baba Bishan Das in my childhood, I always had the habit of doing the repetition of one or another word, and I used to repeat them for 8 hours at a stretch. But when I met Baba Bishan Das, he asked me, "Does the one who is within you remain still?" He meant, "Does my mind remain still?" I told him, "I don't know about that. I remember that I remain aware either in the beginning when I start doing my repetition or towards the end when I'm about to finish the repetition. But I don't remember what happens in between, and I don't know whether my mind remains there or not. But I do have this ego, this pride, that I sit for so much time." Page 203. Well, which of us couldn't say something like that? Which of us has never been in that position? If he can be honest and admit it and come to understand it, so can we. It was because he was faced up to it that he was able to go way beyond that kind of meditation and do the real thing. If we cannot be honest and trusting, it is very difficult to make progress. Another thing to remember is what Sanchi said about faith or trust. When we do not have faith in our own selves, we do not have faith in other people either. The kind of living that Jesus and the other masters are talking about depends on our being honest with ourselves and having faith in ourselves. If we can trust others and like ourselves, we can feel the same toward others. If we do not, we project onto others all the fear that is really there in ourselves, holding us back. We can't help it, because that is the point of view, the angle of vision, the colored glasses we are wearing. But if we can love the Master and change our angle of vision enough to examine our inner selves honestly, we can learn to trust him to take care of us. Only then will we lose our worry and fear, which is the greatest forgetting of all. And I want to close by reading a very short birthday message of Master Kripal. His birthday is coming up in a very short time. This is from 1963. He says, "Dear ones, on this day of my 70th physical birthday," counting, by the way, in India they count from the day of the birth, which is, of course, our first birthday, so that although we would say that was his 69th birthday, accurately speaking, it was his 70th. "On this day of my 70th physical birthday, I convey my love to you all and best wishes for your spiritual welfare. With the grace of my Master, I have come to reveal the life's richest treasure, the holy Nam, the Word, which is found only within you. The Master takes many steps to meet you if you can take one step to him. You need only to listen and pay attention. Let your meditations flower into action and service. I wish you to simplify, simplify, and simplify. To be simple in all aspects of life is to accept life. Try to help all others with a spirit of self-denial. Yourself will expand to cover all humanity and other creation. Such an enterprise will lead your soul on to God. Be pure in thought, word, and deed, and love all. Love is the panacea for all evils of life. Be good and do good. These five words contain in them the essence of all religions of the world. My work shall be amply repaid if you live up to them. Kripal Singh, January 28, 1963.
Kade duniya di maan vadiyai de vich phasya hoya siga, kade duniya de kise karobar de vich phasya hoya siga. ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਹਰ ਪਾਸੋਂ ਇਸ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਮੋੜ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਲੱਜਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮਨ ਸਾਡਾ ਇੱਕ ਹੈ। ਚਾਹੇ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੀਆਂ ਲੱਜਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾ ਦਿਓ, ਚਾਹੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾ ਦਿਓ, ਮਨ ਇੱਕ ਹੀ ਕੰਮ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਵੀ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਪਾਈਪ ਵਿਚ ਹੈਜ਼ ਮੈਨੀ ਓਪਨਿੰਗਸ, ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਵਿਲ ਨੋਟ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਇਟਸ ਫੁੱਲ ਫੋਰਸ, ਬਟ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਕਲੋਜ਼ ਆਲ ਦੀ ਓਪਨਿੰਗਸ ਐਂਡ ਜਸਟ ਕੀਪ ਵਨ ਓਪਨਿੰਗ, ਵਨ ਆਊਟਲੈਟ, then the water will come with its full force. In the same way, now when we have the attachment to the family, we have the attachment to the worldly things, and we have the attachment to the all the things in this world, but after closing or after withdrawing from all these things, if we put all our attention, all our attachment to the Shabad, to the meditation of Shabad Naam, then our devotion will come in its full force, and our mind will also start enjoying this, because you know that we have only one mind. Either we can make him do the devotion of Lord, or we can involve him in all the worldly things.
Jag mag hui jote ujari, kat khil gai kamalen ki aari.
Hun jad jote de darshan karda hai man, saade kat de andar, bada hi, ਆਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਹੈ ਖਿਲ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ। ਜੋ ਉਹਦੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਕੇ ਦਿਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜੋ ਖੁਸ਼ੀ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਉਹ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਜਾਣਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਵੈਨ ਦਾ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਗੈਟਸ ਦ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਲਾਈਟ, ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਗੈਟਸ ਬਲੋਸਮਡ ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ੀ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਅੰਸਿਸ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਆਫ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ। ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਸੀ ਦ ਲਾਈਟ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਲਾਈਟ, ਓਨਲੀ ਦੇ ਨੋ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਹਾਊ ਮੱਚ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਦੇ ਗੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਇਟ।
ਸੁੰਦਰ ਕੀ ਖਿੜਕੀ ਖੋਲੀ, ਸੁਖ ਮਨ ਮੇਂ ਨਿਤ ਬੋਲੀ।
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਜੋਤ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਹੈ। ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇੱਥੇ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਸੁਣ ਦਾ ਜ਼ਿਕਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਦ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਦੀ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਉੱਪਰ ਨੂੰ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
In the light,
ke shabd aunda hai.
In the light, there is the sound. Here Swamiji Maharaj is describing the first sun or the first white plane, where when our soul gets there, it hears the shabd. This is the place from where the shabd is coming.
Guru Nanak Sahib, jad Makke gaye, uthe Kaji Rukundin ne kai sawal kite ki us khuda da jehda mahal hai, oh kehe jo hai, odi ki kaifiyat hai. ਤੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਮਹੱਲ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਵਜੂਦ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਦੇ 12 ਬੁਰਜ ਹੈ, 32 ਕਿੰਗਰੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ 52 ਕਿੰਗਰੇ ਹੈ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਬੜਾ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਸ ਮਹੱਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਖੁਦਾ ਬਾਂਗ ਦੇ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਸੁੱਤੀ ਪਈ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਜਾਂ ਬਾਂਗ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਣ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹੀ।
ਵੈਨ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਵੈਂਟ ਟੂ ਮੱਕਾ, ਕਾਜੀ ਰੁਕਨੁਦੀਨ ਆਸਕਡ ਹਿਮ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਪੈਲਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਡਿਸਕ੍ਰਾਈਬ ਦੈਟ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਰਿਪਲਾਈਡ ਦੈਟ ਦ human body is the palace of God. It has the support of 12 pillars and it is having 52 windows and the 10 doors and like that. And on the top of that, God himself is calling. God himself is calling the people. But the pity is that nobody is listening to his call.
आप कहंदे एक महल दो बारियां शिव शक्ति सुल्तान खिड़की खोल ददार देन बहुत वधायन मान.
He says that there is one palace which has two windows, and he himself is residing there above the windows. And when he himself opens the windows, he gives his darshan to people and honors and gives name and fame to people.
लेकिन असीं उहदे अंदर दाखल क्यों नहीं हो सकदे गे कि साडे अंदर मैं होमै जिहड़ी है इह लै के सानूं अंदर दाखल नहीं होण दिंदी गी. होमै जिहड़ी है बड़ी इह बुरी बला है.
Why cannot we enter that palace? Only because we are having egoism and the sense of I-hood. We cannot enter that palace carrying egoism and all these things, because egoism is a very bad disease.
Guru Nanak Sahib kehnde raah khuda pi haawla waalon dasme paaye man to maigal ho reya nikse kyon kar jaye.
Guru Nanak Sahib said that the path which takes the soul to God is very narrow. It is 1/10 size of the size of the thickness of the hair, and the mind has become a very big mighty elephant. How can the soul get there? How can the soul get there?
Muhammad sahab ne aapde sevakan nu puchya ke thoda ki hai. Hazrat Umar uthya apni jagah ton khadke kehn lagya, mera oont hai, mere bete hai, meriyan betiyan hai, meri qaum hai, main inne dharm padarth da malik hai. Usne ginde ne ek ghanta la ditta. Hazrat Ali di jad wari aayi, oh apne thaan to uthya, kehn lagya bas ik tu hai, ik khuda hai. Muhammad sahab da aapde sevakan nu samjhauna hi si ke mere jehde upadesh hai unhan nu kaun samajhda hai.
Once Prophet Muhammad asked his disciples that what they were possessing, what were their possessions. When Hazrat Umar got up, he took 1 hour to tell that how many things he had. He started saying that I have the camels, I have wife, I have the sons, I have daughters, I have this and I have that, and he counted all the things which he had. And after that, other people also told Prophet Muhammad about their belongings. But when the time came for Hazrat Ali to say, he said that I don't have anything except you or God. This was only to make his disciple understand that Prophet Muhammad did this. He wanted to show them that for a disciple, for a loving soul, only God and Master is there. Otherwise, all the things will leave here.
ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਅਗਰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਣਾ ਹੈ ਆਪਣੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਦੀਨਤਾ ਅਖਤਿਆਰ ਕਰੋ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਦੀਨਤਾ ਪਿਆਰੀ ਹੈ.
ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਵਾਂਟ ਟੂ ਮੀਟ ਗੋਡ ਡਿਵੈਲਪ ਹਿਊਮਿਲਿਟੀ ਇਨ ਯੋਰ ਵਿਦਿਨ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਗੋਡ ਲਵਸ ਹਿਊਮਿਲਿਟੀ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਹੋਮੈ ਰੋਗ ਬੁਰੇ ਜੈ ਦੇਖਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਏਕੋ ਬੇਦਨ ਆਪੇ ਬਖਸ਼ੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਤੁਰੇ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਨਾਨਕ ਵੇਅਰ ਐਵਰ ਆਈ ਸੀ ਆਈ ਲੁੱਕ ਦੈਟ ਪੀਪਲ ਆਰ ਸਫਰਿੰਗ ਫਰੋਮ ਦਿਸ ਬੈਡ ਡਿਜ਼ੀਜ਼ ਆਫ ਈਗੋਇਜ਼ਮ ਓਨਲੀ by the grace of the master and using the medicine of shabad one can get cured from this disease.
Sundar ki khidki khole sukh man mein to na.
Our final bhajan is on page 144. Utajaga musafir aboard a bayou. Oh traveler, get up. It is dawn. It is not right that you continue sleeping. One who awakes, he finds. One who is asleep, he loses. Get up and open your eyes from slumber and meditate on your master. This is not the way of love. The Lord is awake and you are sleeping. What you want to do tomorrow, do today. What you want to do today, do it now. When the sparrows have picked up the seeds from the field, it is too late to repent then. O fool, suffer the consequences of your actions. O sinner, how can you have peace in sin? When you have a bundle of sins on your head, why do you say that your head hurts? O traveler, get up. It is dawn. It is not right that you continue sleeping. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 144.
Utjaga musafir borupai apare nikahancho sovatahi. Ut jaga musafir bor pai. baren kahancho sovata he ute jagam safir bor pai abaren kahancho sovata he cho jagat tahe so pavatahe cho so vatahe so kovatahe cho jagatahe so pavatahe cho so vatahe so kovatahe ute jagam safir bor pai aparen kahancho sovatahe ute jagam safir bor pai abarenya kahancho sovatahe uttam nindase yakkiya kolchara uttam nindase yakkiya kolchara aru apne guru se dhyan laga aru apne guru se dhyan laga yehi prit karan ki rit nahi yehi prit karan ki Ritanahi Prabhu jagat hai tu sovata hai Guru jagat hai tu sovata hai Ut jagam safir bor pai apare nekahancho sovatahe ute jagam safir mor pai apare nekahancho sovatahe cho kal karam naso Achakarali Chokal Karam Naso Achakarali Cho Achakar Naso Abakarali Cho Achakar Naso Abakarali Chaba chiriyoni tuna ketalia Chaba chiriyoni tuna ketalia Fire pachita ekya hovatahe Fire pachita ekya Ovatahe Ute jagamusa Pirborupai Abare nekahancho Sovatahe Ute jagamusa Sovatahe
Na danna bhugata karani apani. Na danna bhugana karani apani. E papi pape me chen kaha. E papi pape me chen kaha. Chabha papa ki katar dihi si shetari. Chabha papa ki katar dihi si shetari. Fir si shepkar kyo rovatahi. Fir si shepkar kyo rovatahi. Ut jaga musafir bor pani abare ne kaha cho so. Ut jaga musafir bor pai abare ne kaha cho sovatahi.
Oh, traveler, get up. It is dawn. It is not right that you continue sleeping. May God bless us all.